Hey, Isaiah prophesied in the 9th chapter of his book in the Old Testament of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. My text isn't long. It's one verse. It says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. It's this child who would become our deliverer is the Messiah. He is Jesus. He did not come the way they wanted him to come. They wanted a savior king, a soldier king, riding one of them fancy two-hump camels. Man, I mean, he showed up as a baby in a manger. Listen, I don't know where Goldie is, but you know what? I can remember my own grandbabies and my babies that when they were born, they wasn't all that scary. They wasn't packing that much authority. But there was something about this baby that was different. Because wise men traveled from afar to come and visit him. The angels heralded his birth to a bunch of lowly shepherds. The birth of the Messiah would be at a definite time and at a definite point in history. And this messianic son would be born in a unique and a marvelous way. And in fact, Isaiah 7 and 14, if you were to back up a couple chapters, it says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us. God in the house today. God in your heart this morning. Not under your tree, but not in the manger, not on the cross. He's in our heart today, church. See, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy was realized in the birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary. This was a miraculous event in several ways. And even though Mary became pregnant, I read this, and I've read this so many times in ministry. I've read this, and I've read it, and I've read it. But I read it again yesterday, and it was like somebody hit me in the face with a tube of six. Wow. Mary, even though she became pregnant, she remained a virgin. Even though she was pregnant, she remained, listen to this, she remained a virgin until after the birth of her son. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's taken some last 30, 35 years for that coin to drop. I'll do the preaching. Can I just tell you? Only God can do that. Only God can do those kinds of things. Her conception, the conception of her son, it came about because of a miracle of the Holy Ghost rather than through an act of man. Mary said to the angel that night, "Be it unto me as you have declared." Are you kidding me? Wow. I want to run through his names. The first one was Wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm not talking about a picture postcard. This is a wonderful picture that they have chosen to be the backdrop for my notes this morning. But we're not talking about that kind of wonderful. The Messiah himself would be a supernatural wonder. A supernatural wonder. Not just a natural wonder, The Grand Canyon's a natural wonder. Add a little Jesus with that, and it becomes a supernatural wonder. The fact that you and I are seated here this morning, filled with the Holy Ghost, saved and set free from a life of bondage and torment of the enemy, that is a supernatural event that has taken place in your life and in mine. And if it hasn't in your life, before this day's out, you're going to have an opportunity. These are names that characterize the function of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He was a supernatural wonder. And the Hebrew word Pele is used only of God and never of humans or human works. The Messiah would show His character by His deeds and His miracles. And can I tell you, church, that oftentimes we show our character by our works and deeds. We must learn to be careful who it is. You're not just serving Jesus in church on Sunday and Wednesday. You're serving Jesus on Monday and Thursday and Friday and Tuesday and Saturday. It's an every day of the week kind of a thing. He showed His character by His deeds and by the miracles. His name is wonderful. And then there will be nothing, if His name rather is wonderful, there will be nothing dull about His reign. There's nothing dull about the reign of Jesus Christ. Just look around you. Hello. He chose and appointed you and I before the foundations of the earth. There's nothing dull about the reign of Christ. Second is, He is a counselor. See, the Messiah would be the incarnation of perfect wisdom and have the words of eternal life. If you'll listen to His still small voice, He will tell you the words of eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, all y'all are whosoever, that whosoever would believe, that's an act of your heart, not your mind. You can know everything there is to know about God's Word and about Jesus and about God. But if you don't apply Him in your heart, you'll miss heaven by 18 inches. Boy, that'd be a sad day, wouldn't it, folks? We got to open the doors of our heart and let Him in. He has the words of eternal life. And as counselor, He will disclose the perfect plan of salvation. I need God to speak to me. Well, have you read His Word? Well, no, I want Him to speak to you. Have you read His Word? Well, yeah, but I just want to hear the audible voice of God. Get in His Word. He'll preach to you. He'll speak to you. He'll declare something. Not everything that He says to you and I makes us all warm and fuzzy. Hello. But it's still true. The greatest day in my life was when I was confronted with a life full of sin and said, listen, if you don't deal with that, you're going to a devil's hell. That wasn't very fun to hear, but it changed my life. And I stand before you today as your pastor because those words were not only declared to me, but I received them and I did something about it. We have to do something about it. As a counselor, He has the wisdom to rule justly. And as the mighty God, He has the power to execute His wise plans. In fact, speaking of the mighty God, that's the third thing. In the Messiah, all the fullness of deity exists in Him in bodily form. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for in Him, in who? In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was God's Son, sent to this earth to walk among men, to show the way, to lead the way, to impart wisdom. And as the mighty God, He has the power to execute His plan. Oh, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. I got news for you. You don't know how bad I've been. Some of you do. And they would tell you, I've been bad. But I serve a God that's good. I serve a God that's more than good. He is supernatural. In Colossians, I already read that. See, I'm trying to hurry. It's what happens when you people put pressure on me to make me hurry. As the mighty God, He has the power to execute His wise... Let me just tell you something. If God's plan is a wise plan, we ought to listen to it. We ought to take it to heart. We ought to allow it to register in our cerebral cortex, our gray matter, our brain. Let it slide on down the back, hit the heart, and bring forth change in our life. Every one of us need it. He has a plan for your life. From gray hair to grade school, He has a plan for your life. Fourth thing is, He is the everlasting Father. He is the everlasting Father. He not only would come to reveal the Heavenly Father, but He Himself would act toward us, His people, eternally as a compassionate Father who loves and guards and supplies the needs of His children. I'm telling you, church, He is supplying all of our needs. He will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's His word. Now, everlasting Father does not suggest that the Son is also the Father. Each person in the Godhead has a distinct role that they play. He's the Father of eternity. The Father of eternity is really a better translation here. And among the Jews, the word Father means the originator or the source. For example, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says that Satan is the father and the originator of lies. That guy couldn't tell the truth if he had to. Well, what about when he preached God's word? What about when he spoke God's word? He did speak God's word, and God's word is true, but it becomes a lie when you take it out of context. Listen, if you want something eternal, all the money that you have spent on Christmas presents, none of it is eternal. Except can I even say this? I'm going to say this. You might be mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Except for the fat cells that developed after we've eaten all the pie, those things are, they live forever. They just brain cells die, skin cells die, them fat cells are just, hallelujah. They live on, man. Sorry, I got off track right there. Listen, He is eternal. He is eternal. And among the Jews, the word Father again means originator or source. If you want something eternal, you've got to get it from Jesus Christ. You won't get it from Walmart. You won't get it from Costco. If you want something eternal, you better get it from the baby in the manger, Christ Jesus. He became and is the Father of all eternity. And finally, He is Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I'm not talking about peace out, homie. I'm talking about peace that the world can't give. Peace that the world cannot take away. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace when the doctor says, listen, it ain't good. You're looking bad. Things are not good. The bank calls and says, hey, you're delinquent on this. You're delinquent. The light company calls and says, hey, we're going to have to turn off your lights. Let me tell you something. In the midst of all of that, you and I, as children of God, can have peace and say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't give a rip what anybody says. I'm going to have peace in my life. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. His rule will bring peace which God, with God for all humanity through deliverance and through from sin and death. And the word Prince indicates that the Messiah will in fact be a ruler who governs in peace. He isn't going to govern with an iron fist. He'll govern by peace. Hallelujah. He's going to govern in peace. He will achieve. I love this. He will achieve His purposes through methods of peace and carry on His work in a peaceful spirit. Listen, if you want to go to hell, that's on you. Do it. He said you have to make a choice. There's only two. So if you don't choose heaven by default, see, God's calling you right now. Listen. He will achieve His purposes through methods of peace. He will carry on His work in a peaceful spirit. The people over whom He rules will be a people of peace. Even more important than that, because the Messiah will bring peace to the human heart, He will solve the problem of mankind's alienation from God. Amen? He will reconcile. He will reconcile people to God. And when people are reconciled to God, they have peace with God. And the peace of God floods our heart. We walk through life with the full assurance that my sins have been forgiven and I am accepted by God. I'm accepted by God. He loves me. He loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. Confidence begins to flood our soul. A confidence that we will live eternally with the Father and with the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, and all of this, an eternal life, because unto us a child was born. Unto us a child was born. See, some 700 years after the prophet Isaiah's prediction, the Messiah did in fact come into the world, and He died 33 and a half years later. We now look to the future, the promise that Christ will return and establish God's kingdom on this earth. It's yet to be fulfilled, but one of these days, church. One of these days, that eastern sky is going to split wide open, man. Woo! Jesus Christ is going to step out on a cloud. The dead in Christ are going to come up out the ground. Something going on in the graveyard. Something going on in the graveyard. Woo! It's going to take place pretty fast. And those of us in Christ that are left will be caught up together to be with Jesus in the clouds forevermore. All because a babe was born in a manger. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me. Linda, come here. Just keep your heads bowed. Listen to this poem.
Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord.
What have we forgotten? 'Twas the day before Christmas, and all through the house, everyone's hurrying and scurrying about. The laundry needs done, the dishes too. Company is coming, and we are not through. Set out the good dishes, put the candles in their stands. Make sure the tree is perfect. We have to compete with Aunt Jan. Make salads and rolls, pies, cakes, and more. Make sure we haven't forgotten anything at the store. Tomorrow's the big day. All the company will come, and nothing is ready, so we've got to run. We've parties every day this week until our feet are sore. There's still much to do, but my body says I'm through. So late in the evening, we collapse on the couch, too tired to move, totally wore out. Then came the dawning, the lights from above. All this hustle and bustle, and we forgot love. Glancing across the room, we see Jesus in his hay bed, still fast asleep. He came to earth from his throne on high, to be born in a stable in filthy hay. He came to be ridiculed, spat upon, and beat, to die on a cross, Satan to defeat. If we believe and let him come in, our lives will be changed, we'll be free from sin. On my face I fell and cried, I'm sorry, forgive me for forgetting you. Jesus, Jesus, for me you died. Thank you for the gift you gave. Now I can live all eternity through and worship forever in heaven with you. Hallelujah to God, and to all a good night.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me tell you this. Jesus did all of that. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. Born the Son of God. Crucified, our salvation Savior. Seated today at the right hand of God, making intercession on behalf of you and me. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Jesus wants to come into your heart. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, the very best gift you can receive this year for Christmas is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. You didn't just show up here today by accident. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And if you're here today, you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I've heard about heaven. And I've heard about how great it's going to be. I want to be a part of it, Jesus. I want to spend eternity in the presence of God, not in the pits of hell. And if you're here today and you say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I've never accepted Him, but today's my day. I want you. Listen, your day has been known about for eternity. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. I don't want you to go another moment not having Jesus in your life. Not another moment. Maybe you're in this place today and you've accepted the Lord at one point in your life, but man, life happened. Life got in the way. Life sidetracked you, derailed you. Today you say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to tell Him I'm sorry for turning my back on Him. I want to ask Him if He'd have me again. I promise you this, He'll have you again. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see your hands. You can put them down. Somebody else say, Preacher, that's me. Anybody else today? Amen. You can put them down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? You might even be watching by way of the internet today and say, you know, Pastor, I need Jesus. I can't see your hand raised, but I promise you this. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And if you'll pray with me, God will save you just as sure in your home as He will at this altar. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up and come right now to this church, the front of the church. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get up here. Come on. Don't let the devil rob you of this moment. Come on. Come on, there's two more of you. Raise your hands. Come on. Heaven's waiting on you right now. Your turkey will wait. This ain't gonna wait no more. Joshua said in chapter 24 in the Old Testament, he said this. He said, as for me, he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Morning. He just comes up here, gets on his face before God. And I don't know what they talk about, but it's got to be good. Austin Carver. You make an old grandpa proud. I'm proud of you, son. God has a purpose and a plan. This boy right here likes to run. And a couple weeks ago, he was in a race in Medford. And wouldn't you know it, he got in the wrong crowd. He's supposed to run like 2.5 miles. Ended up running 8. But you want to know why that's significant, church? Because he didn't quit. He did not quit. The Bible says that those who run the race, race to win. And Paul said, I have finished my race. And there's a crown laid up for me in glory. That's what he said. Destiny. Your name speaks of God's plan for your life. You have a destiny. Not just a name, but you have a destiny. God has a destination for you. God has a destiny, a plan, and a purpose for you. Would you guys just pray this with me? Sir, get right up here. This isn't your first time to this altar. This isn't his first time to this altar. But I don't care if you come to this altar every Sunday, if that's what it takes to keep yourself straight before God. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen. You walk out of this place today a changed man because of God, because of His Holy Spirit, because of a baby in a manger. Guys, I want you to pray this prayer right here with me, okay? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my heart.
Come in my heart.
To save my soul.
Save my soul.
To change my life.
Change my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I promise. To serve you.
To serve you.
To live for you.
To live for you.
And to be all that you've called me to be.
To be all you've called me to be.
And I thank you for this day.
And I thank you for this.
I thank you for a baby in a manger.
I thank you for a baby in a manger.
That died for me.
That died for me.
I'll live for you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Love you, man.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Who'd have thunk it? Well, Lindsay has some. Are they gifts for the kids? And if you weren't here last week as a child, there's still Christmas presents for you over there. And these are for every kid that is here right now. So, yeah.
Calling you out,
Ricky. Here, you're the children's. You take care of that. All right. Listen, let's stand to our feet. Come on. Let's stand up. Let's stand to our feet, church. I want a good
throw
one,
my hands,
okay?
Again. Can we do that again? Throw up my hands. Can we do gratitude again? I throw up my hands.
Yeah. Come on, Haley. Yeah.